I'm absolutely thrilled to be with you this morning and to share what God has laid on my heart. When I was preparing to speak this morning, the Lord clearly spoke to me and he said this: I don't want you to preach a sermon. I want you to share your heart. And so I want to share our experience over these months. This is applied theology. This is the lessons that we're trying to learn as we're in this difficult season with God. So if you have a Bible, turn with me to 1 Samuel 17. I want to look at this passage under the heading this morning, How to Slay a Giant. Now, this is a Sunday school classic. It is a bedtime favorite. But if we leave it there, then we do so to our own detriment, because it's filled with passion, faith, determination, insight, foresight, and great courage. The situation that David and the nation faced was huge, but God gave him the victory. These are unprecedented days in our lives and in the nation. And we face many giants. One of the biggest giants we face in these days is COVID-19. And I want to encourage you today that as God was with David, so he's with us. And what God did for David, he can also do for us. Now, you know the story well. The Philistines have gathered for war against Israel. The two armies are camped for battle in opposite sides of a steep valley. Goliath comes out each day dressed in full armor. And for 40 days, he mocks and he challenges the Israelites to fight. The Bible says he came twice a day. He came after breakfast, he came after dinner, and the shame and the humiliation was almost overwhelming. Then one day, wee David was sent by his father to take probably cheese and bread to his brothers who were on the battlefield. And as he went to the battlefield, David saw Goliath and he heard the taunts. And as I studied this passage, the Lord revealed to me four things which enabled David to slay Goliath that I want to try and unpackage this morning. First of all, David was not discouraged by what he heard because he remembered the prophetic promises of God. In 1 Samuel 17, verse 26, we read these words. David asked the men standing near him, "What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" Can you feel the frustration in David's voice? Circumcision was a sign of God's covenant to his people. And this Philistine knew nothing of the promises of God because he was uncircumcised. But David did. Was David remembering the promise that God spoke to Moses? Was David remembering the promises that God spoke to Joshua and the people, that no one will be able to stand before you all the days of your life? For as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. So be strong and courageous. You know, it's important to notice that David, in the midst of difficult circumstances, was listening more to God, more to what God had to say, more to what God had to promise than Goliath. When we believe and when we live in the reality of the promises of God, things happen, things change. Mountains are brought low, chains are broken, Doors are open. Hearts are healed. The impossible becomes the possible. You see, when Abraham stepped out in the promises of God, a ram was provided. When Moses stepped out in the promises of God, a sea was open. When Joshua stepped out in the promises of God, the walls came down. When Elijah stepped out in the promises of God, the rain came. When Peter stepped out in the promises of God, the lame man was healed. Things happen, things change when we live in the reality of God's promises. Sam Storm, who is a scholar and an author in America, for 6 months studied the promises of God in Scripture, and he found 7,487 promises of God for his people. We hear so much about COVID and the possibilities of more restrictions and the possibilities of another lockdown. And these are difficult days, and we need that information. But also in the mix, we need to constantly remember the promises of God. We need to constantly remember the prophetic words of God that he's spoken over his people. In these days, I constantly remind myself of the promises of God in Scripture, and they bring me peace and light and hope and direction and comfort and confidence in a world that's badly shaken. In these days, I constantly remind myself of the prophetic words, of the prophetic pictures, of the prophetic dreams that God has spoken over my life, and I pray them into being. You know, sometimes we need the breath of God's Spirit, the wind of God's Spirit, the ruach of God to breathe life into the promises of God, into the prophetic word of God. I was recently reminded of the Shumanite son who died in 2 Kings 4. He was a prophetic promise from Elisha. He said to this woman, "This time next year, you will hold a son." And her son dies, and Elisha goes to the son, and he lies on top of the son, and he breathes the ruach of God. He breathes the Spirit of God back into the prophetic word, and life is reborn. And as I prepare for this morning, I sensed in my heart that some of us need the Spirit of God, the wind of God, the ruach of God to bring the promises of God alive like they've never been before, to bring that prophetic word that God has spoken over our lives into reality. Let me say this to you. COVID-19 cannot and will not hinder the promises that God has made to you and spoken over your life, because his promises are always without question, yes and amen. And whatever giant you might face today, the giant of unemployment, the giant of sickness, of finance, of bereavement, of hopelessness, of disappointment, of loneliness, of isolation, of fear, remember the promises of God and allow his Spirit to bring strength and hope into your difficult situation. John Piper writes this: one of the greatest enemies of hope is forgetting the promises of God. Let's be like David and don't be discouraged by what we hear, but remember the promises of God. Secondly, David wasn't discouraged by what he saw, because his focus was in God. Verse 32, David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight." Now, Goliath was enormous. The Bible says that he was almost 10 foot, and his armor weighed between 175 and 200 pounds. His spearhead alone weighed 25 pounds. And every morning and every evening, they were overwhelmed by what they saw, but not David. David didn't see a giant, but he saw an opportunity to demonstrate the power of God. So he looks at the giant and he says to Saul, "I will fight." You need to notice that David's faith in God was secure. And because of that, it caused him to look at the giant from a different perspective. Goliath was a mere mortal man defying an all-powerful God. David didn't focus on the size of his giant, but he focused on the size of his God. David's faith and his confidence in God is staggering. He says, "God was with me when I killed the bear. God was with me when I killed the lion. And God will be with me when I kill Goliath." Just over a year ago, I had my eyes tested to see if I needed new lenses. And I did. And when I got the new lenses, everything changed. The difference was like night and day. It was like black and white going to color. But you know this, I didn't realize or appreciate how I had become accustomed to my limited vision. In these unprecedented days, I believe that God longs to sharpen our vision, not only of him, but of what he can do. God wants us to see things from a different perspective. He wants us to see him like Isaiah did, high and lifted up, exalted, seated on the throne. He wants us to see him as John did, his hair white as wool, his eyes like blazing fire, his feet like bronze glowing in a furnace, his voice like the sound of many waters, his face like the sun shining in all its brilliance. This is our God. Let me say this to you. The giant in front of you is never bigger or greater than the God you serve or the God that is within you. And it's imperative that in the midst of the battle, our focus is in God. In the midst of the storm, our focus is in Jesus, who is the eye of the storm. It's imperative that we fix our eyes on him so that during this difficult time, we will not grow weary and lose heart. Max Lucado, one of my favorite authors, he writes this: "Focus on the giant and you will stumble. Focus on God and your giant will stumble." Let's be like David and don't be discouraged by what you see around you, but make your focus the greatness of God. Thirdly, I want you to notice that David wasn't discouraged by what he felt, because he knew that there was power in the name of the Lord. Verses 45 to 47. David said to the Philistine, You come against me with sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down, and I will cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and to the wild animals. And the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. You know, there was a lot of fear in the camp as they focused on Goliath. There was a deep sense of hopelessness and despair, and David could feel it in his spirit. I think he could smell the fear in the camp, and he could see it on their faces. But there was no fear in David's heart. David says, "You come against me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord God Almighty." David knew that there was power in the name of God. In the Old Testament, the name of God spoke of his character. It spoke of his greatness, of his strength and power. And many Hebrew scholars agree that there's a number of translations for the name El Shaddai. It can mean the Lord Almighty, but it can also mean the God of the mountains, bountiful God, an exuberant God. God first revealed himself as El Shaddai to Abraham in Genesis 17, verse 1. When Abraham was 99, and he was about to go on this incredible journey of faith, the Lord appeared to him and he declared, "I am the Lord Almighty. I am the El Shaddai, the exuberant one, the bountiful one, the all-powerful, almighty one." And David knew and understood that there was power and authority in the name of God. As Christians, we need to understand that there is power in the name of Jesus. Now, this is a whole sermon in itself, but let me whet your appetite. There is power in the name of Jesus to save. Acts 2:11. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. There is power in the name of Jesus for forgiveness. Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of sins. There is power in the name of Jesus to heal. Acts 4:30. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. There is power to bring freedom in the name of Jesus. Acts 16, Paul turned around and said to the Spirit, "In the name of Jesus, I command you to come out." And at that moment, the Spirit left her. There is power in the name of Jesus for provision. John 16, Jesus says, "Until now, you've not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete." When I was suffering from COVID-19 in March, when the storm was fierce and the wind and the waves were almost unbearable, I cried out in the name of Jesus, the Prince of Peace, and I asked him for his provision, and it came like the waves, just constant peace, constant strength, constant hope. His provision is in when we call upon his name. There is a lot of fear around today. You turn on your television, you turn on the radio, you pick up a newspaper, you speak to their neighbours. There's a lot of fear around. And we, like never before, we need to believe that there is power in the name of Jesus to save, to transform, to heal, to bring down strongholds, to restore, to provide, and to revive. This is what Eric Johnson writes. Jesus is the name above all names, the only name in heaven and earth that is powerful and strong enough to break every chain, to bring down every stronghold, and to defeat every enemy. All enemies flee at the mention of his name. Let me read that one more time. Jesus, the name above all names, the only name in heaven and on earth that is powerful and strong enough to break every chain, to bring down every stronghold, and defeat every giant. All enemies flee at the mention of that name. Let's be like David and be fearless rather than fearful. Finally, my time's gone, but David was not discouraged by what he had in his hand because God had equipped him. Verse 48 to 50. As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly towards the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bags and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and he killed him. Saul tried to give David his armor, his sword, and his helmet, but it didn't fit. You know, I think David was at his weakest before Goliath when he put on Saul's armor. And he must have looked ridiculous because Saul was the tallest amongst his people. David used what God had placed in his hand. David used what God had given him, a sling and a couple of stones. We have four gorgeous grandchildren that are all under six, four beautiful granddaughters. And when they come to Grandma and Papa's house, the thing they enjoy most of all is the fashion show. And they go into Grandma's bedroom and they dress up in Grandma's dresses. They put on her jewellery, they put on her shoes, Grandma and Papa put on the music, and we have this fashion show. And it's lots of fun, but they do look silly, and they do fall over, because the dresses are too long, and the shoes are too big. I want you to know this morning, we're at our weakest in the midst of the battle, when we try and wear someone else's armour, when we try and imitate someone else's gift, or when we try to be someone that we're not. Remember the question that God asked Moses in Exodus 4. He said to Moses, what do you have in your hands? What have I given to you? Oh, a staff. God blesses and anoints the staff. And supernaturally, it takes the people out of Egypt across the Red Sea. The question we ask as we face the giants in this season is, what has God placed in your hand? Remember the question that Elisha asked the widow. He said to her, what do you have in your household? She said, oh, I only have a little flask of oil. But as she dedicated what she had before God, the Spirit of God anointed the oil. She paid off her debt and she did enough to live on with her sons. Supernatural provision. As you face this difficult season, as we face it together, as we face the giants, we need to answer the question, what do you have in your hand? What do you have in your household that can be used for God? Amy Orr Ewing once said this, everyone has a purpose. You have a destiny. And the good news is that God has already equipped you with everything that you need. What do you have in your hand? What do you have in your household that can be used for God in this difficult season? As I come to the end, here's a thought to ponder in the days to come. Sometimes God will put a Goliath in your life for you to find the David within you. Let's pray for a few moments before I hand back to Stuart. Let's reflect on not this sermon, but this message that God has brought to our hearts today. A message to encourage and to inspire us in these unprecedented days. Father, we thank you for your word. We bless you that your promises are yes and amen. Please help us to tune into your voice and into your promises in these difficult days. Father, would you help us to focus on you rather than the things around us? Would you sharpen our vision of who you are and what you can do in these difficult days? Father, would you help us to understand and live in the reality that there is great power in the name of Jesus? Help us to speak that name over every situation in our lives, in our families, in our communities. Father, thank you that you have already equipped us with everything that we need to endure and to succeed in this battle. Help us by your Spirit to use what we have in our hand, to what we have in our lives, to what we have in our household, I pray. Father, I pray blessing over Buckskin Evangelical Church. I thank you for them and for the testimony they've had over many years. I thank you that they have indeed been salt and light and a beacon for you and for your kingdom. Would you bless them? Would you provide everything that they need in this season, I pray. I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.